The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Yes, it is Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, back with you in the studio on this Tuesday afternoon. First show of the week for me. I was not here yesterday, but I was not able to listen to the show. But as far as everybody told me, Uncle T-Bone and Jack Hutton held down the fort along with intern Allen. So hopefully everything was okay. The radio station still here, so that's good, right? When I get back in town and I take a day off, everything went okay. Studio's still here. The show didn't get banned. I didn't get any calls from the FCC, so I think we're okay. I think we're good to go. So hopefully you enjoyed the show yesterday. Oh my gosh, do we have so many things to talk about on the show today. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, we're not going to get it all. We're not going to hit it all. 2 hours is not enough. On a day like today, for somebody like me who missed a show, which you know this, it doesn't happen very often, there is so much for me to catch up on from the weekend, from Monday, from today. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of things that we have to talk about today. And like I said, we're not going to hit it all, but guess what? We'll be back tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And that's what's great about this show. Hope you're doing well. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. It's Masters Week. Oh, yes, it is Masters Week finally here. It's one of the best weeks of the entire sports calendar, and really excited for that. If you listened to the show yesterday or at the end of the show Friday, I was very fortunate enough to be at the Masters yesterday. I was at Augusta on the grounds of the most beautiful piece of land that God has ever created. It is just unbelievable to be at Augusta and be a part of the Masters on the Monday practice round of 2024. We'll talk about that as we go through today and the rest of the week, because tournament starts on Thursday. There's some big names out there, man. Pairings got released today. Tee times got released today as well. So we'll probably talk about that some more tomorrow and Wednesday. Or tomorrow is Wednesday. Tomorrow and Thursday. Definitely on Friday when we're out at Baumhauer's, when we're on location live from on ESPN 106.7 from Baumhauer's on Bent Creek over there. Brought to you by Cincy Green Heating and Air. So excited for that. Come out and join us on Friday. That's both shows, On the Line and The Drive. So that'll be this coming Friday, talking about the Masters, and excited to do that. But on my list, I have eight different topics that have to get hit at some point today. So let's jump into it. Phone lines are open. 334-321-1390. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? You and I, let's have a conversation here on the show today. 334-321-1390. Double D. Daryl Dapperich will join us coming up in hour number two. We'll be able to hit, as I add something else to the list here, we will be talking all things Auburn. We may hit a little Masters as well. Daryl was telling me yesterday that he went to Augusta. He's been there, so we'll have that to talk about. All of the Auburn news to get to. Baseball, football, basketball, apparel. Yeah, all of that to get to on the show today. So we'll talk with Double D coming up in hour number two. Again, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. I think we have to start with what was the biggest news in college basketball in the last, less than 48 hours? We're going on, a day and a half or so. The fact that John Calipari is gone. He's out at Kentucky. Not fired. He left. He's out of Lexington. Packed up the plane, packed up the house, and said, see you later, Big Blue Nation. We're out of here. And that is confirmed. That is 100% confirmed because of what he posted on social media today. He posted a video, a goodbye message, that said, Dear Big Blue Nation, John Calipari is gone. And I'm sure that Uncle T-Bone talked about this yesterday. But, man, this is one of the biggest things to happen in the world of college basketball in years. This guy has been at Kentucky for 15 years. He's a national champion. He's a Hall of Famer. And he's leaving the program that he's had his most success at. Of course, it's not his only job. He's been other places. But this is where he really became Coach Cal. This is where John Calipari became John Calipari, right? Where he recruited the best players in high school, where he brought them in. He created the one-and-done system. He's the one that invented it and mastered it each and every year. He's the one that has put more players in the NBA than any other coach right now, more than any other program. It's the Kentucky Wildcats. It's the University of Kentucky. It's one of the biggest, baddest blue bloods in all of college basketball. And John Calipari's a major reason for that. And now he's gone. He's leaving. And yes, we've all seen the reports. They started floating around as rumors on message boards. And I started receiving some texts on Sunday night about, hey, there's some real smoke here. And then there was a Fayetteville reporter that found it. And then another. And then another. And then there were some bigger reporters and outside reporters that found it on 247 and on 3. And it's like, oh, wow, maybe this is starting to get serious. And then, right? ESPN found it. And ESPN started getting updates. Shams Charania found it. Woj found it. Pete Thamel found it. And they're all getting this information. And it's because the University of Arkansas, the Razorbacks, decided they want to go win, and they want to win right now. And they're finalizing a deal, still trying to finalize it, to bring Coach Cal, John Calipari, to Fayetteville, Arkansas, to be the next head coach of the Razorbacks. Unbelievable. I mean, a bomb that was dropped late on Sunday night. And I remember, I will always remember that it happened on Sunday night, because yours truly was in Augusta, Georgia, in the hotel room. Yes, this is kind of a flex, but in Augusta, Georgia, at the hotel, when I tell you folks, I was laying down, physically laying down in my bed, scrolling on X. I'd already started receiving some text, and I wasn't going to buy into it because surely, I was on Eastern time, surely this wasn't going to break at 11 o'clock at night, right? Had to get up next day at 5 a.m., go to the golf course. Surely nothing's going to happen. And there it was. There was the first report. And then it spread like wildfire. It spread like a bad rash. I mean, it just started going everywhere. And everybody started picking it up. And everybody started being told that this was happening. That it was really possible that John Calipari was leaving Kentucky to go to Arkansas. Not only was he leaving the Cats, he was taking another Power 6 job. And not just any Power 6 job, he was taking one in the same conference. In the Southeastern Conference in the SEC. That doesn't happen very often. You've heard about players transferring within conferences, and you've even seen other coaches leave from big-time programs. Mike White's the most recent, right? He went from Florida to Georgia. But this isn't Mike White. This is John Calipari. And so there I am, laying in my bed in Augusta at the hotel room, 11:30, midnight, knowing that my hours of sleep are just dwindling away, knowing I have to get up in the next 3 to 4 hours. But it was worth it. It was worth it because this is, dare I say, some of the biggest news ever in the history of college basketball. This is massive. And while nothing is fully finalized yet, it's absurd to think about what this means for the SEC, what this means for the sports. If this is done, and the numbers that are starting to float around about his pay, 5-year contract, the money he's going to get for NIL to spend on every year, shout out to Arkansas, because they're ready. Eric Musselman gave them a taste of what it feels like to win and win on a big stage in today's era. And they want it. And they want it right now. And so they went out and they found one of the biggest cats they could find. No pun intended. And they're going to get John Calipari. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so, shout out to them. That's incredible. You could say that this is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, hire in the history of Arkansas athletics. Yeah, it's that big. You're hiring a Hall of Fame national championship coach from one SEC school to another. And what's crazy is, on Friday, on this program, on this show, we had a good friend of mine, Ty Richardson from ESPN Arkansas. And we were asking him, all right, what are some names? John Calipari was nowhere to be found in that list. I mean, nowhere. Dan Hurley, Chris Beard, Nate Oates. All sorts of different coaches were floating around there. And Jay Wright. Nobody. Or you had the Kansas State coach. You even had the Samford coach be thrown in there. But nobody in their right mind said, you know what? I just saw Eric Musselman leave Arkansas to go to USC. I think the Razorbacks are going to go and get John Calipari from Kentucky. Nobody said that because nobody knew. But now it's happening. And now, what's even bigger, that's huge news in itself. The fact that Arkansas is trying to hire John Calipari, that's massive. Good for them. Great. The bigger news is now one of the best jobs in the country has just opened up. A job that's been taken for 15 years. Who is going to be the next head coach at the University of Kentucky? One of the biggest brands in the sport. One of the biggest brands in the world is Kentucky basketball. Everybody knows about Big Blue Nation. So that's become the newest question. Who is it going to be? There's some big names out there. Some that hit pretty close to home. You've got Nate Oates, who seems to be the favorite. And some reports are saying right now that Kentucky's going after him. And they don't care about the $18 million buyout. They're willing to pay it. Because Nate Oates is just that good. And he is. There's also reports that are saying Nate Oates doesn't want to leave Alabama. He just signed a contract extension. They're building something really special up there in Tuscaloosa. And it'd be hard to blame him to want to leave there, a place that he has built up and made bigger than it's ever been. He just took him to a Final Four, which we need to talk about that as well. We also have a national champion in college basketball. Got to talk about that. But still, I think this is almost bigger news, which is so crazy. So Nate Oates is flying around there as a potential head coach hire. Dan Hurley is in there, who just won his back-to-back national championships at UConn in dominant fashion yet again. And I'm pretty sure he has come out and said, I can't remember if this was in the post-game press conference or in a different interview, but he said that he is focused on going to get number three in a row, a three-peat, rather than trying to leave and go somewhere else. And look, I'll just say this. Dan Hurley would be dumb to leave UConn. Why in the world would you leave? What could be bigger than literally winning national championships? Who cares where you do it? If you're the best team in the country, what's it matter what the logo is? And he talked last night in the post game on the floor with Tracy Wolfson about how much he loves UConn and how much he loves the players and the family and the community. And the dude's taken over and made UConn a blue blood, a new blood, if you will. Why in the world would you leave? So I don't think that's happening. And I don't think he wants to go anywhere. And again, I think he'd be kind of dumb to do it. So he's on there. Nate Oates is on there. Jay Wright, the former Villanova coach, who this one's kind of weird to me because Jay Wright walked away. Jay Wright walked away from the game. And now he's doing television. And let me say this. He's great. I loved Jay Wright on TV coverage this year of the NCAA tournament. Billy Donovan from the Chicago Bulls. All sorts of big names. Oh yeah, there is one more that's been thrown in there. Bruce Pearl. Bruce Pearl's been thrown around in that list. And so people in this town on Auburn Twitter and everywhere else, message boards or whatever you subscribe to, some are scared and some are not. Some are worried, some aren't. But here's what I'll say. There's a possibility of Bruce Pearl leaving Auburn. It's not a just 100% given fact that he's not going anywhere. And I think it would be kind of selfish for Auburn fans to think that way. He loves Auburn. He loves what he's done here. And he has made Auburn bigger than it's ever been. But to think that he would just never, ever, ever leave, I just don't think that's smart. And the question, the bigger question is, would Kentucky really come after him? I don't know. And that's what's fun. That's what we're going to find out. They're already in the works right now. Whether it be Nate Oates, whether it be Bruce Pearl, whether it be Jay Wright, or whoever the case may be, one of the biggest jobs in the country at the University of Kentucky has opened up. And I'm just telling you right now, all those names that I've listed have a real possibility of being the next head coach there. That's just one of the many things, folks, that we got to talk about on today's show. I want to hear from you. Give me a call, 334-321-1390. Feels great to be back in the studio, man. Glad to be here. Want to hear from you. We'll take our first break in hour number one. Come back and continue talking about all the topics I got on my list. We'll come right back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's head to the phone lines here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. This guy, I know he's got something to say about this topic. It's Kyle in Kentucky, man. It's great to hear from you. It's been too long.
Hey, what's up, Jacob?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, it has been long, man. Work's gotten busy, and I've been listening to you, though. You and T-Bone, y'all kill it. Y'all are great together. And,
appreciate that, man.
I had to weigh in because it has been chaos here in Kentucky, my man.
I know it has. Well, give us a little insight on what's going on around there.
Yeah, as you know, I'm an Auburn fan, lifelong Auburn fan. A lot of my good friends are diehard Kentucky fans, and they were over it after the Oakland loss. And, the sales pitch, the built for March talk from Cal, it was a done deal after that. And all my friends were done. Friends of friends were done. It was just time. So as far as any feelings for Cal, they were ready for it to be a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, as far as the next coach, I'll be honest, Jacob, I think a few of my friends they're a little nervous right now. And, the Dan Hurley situation, from what I'm told, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm hearing too.
And I'll be honest, I'm a little nervous too because I really think they're going to make a hard push for Coach Pearl.
Really?
I really do, and I hope that doesn't happen. But I don't think Nate Oates is going to go. I really don't. You look at Scott Drew. Scott Drew is high up on the list here. From what I've heard.
Yeah, that's a name I failed to mention earlier.
But the situation there is, Jacob, is I think they're more so worried about the personality match, and I think Kentucky's looking more for a fired-up coach like Coach Pearl, and that's what's got me nervous a little bit. Do I think Coach Pearl will leave? I honestly don't think so. I know that he's by the list that I've seen and what I've heard, I think they can make a hard push for that. But like I said, it was time for Cal to go from just that last go round and the sales pitch just wasn't working anymore, man. So Yes, I am a little nervous, but you know, I don't think Pearl will leave. I'll get your feedback on that, man.
Yeah, well, hey, let me ask you one thing before you go. Is it more of an is it more of like an excited nervous? Because that's one thing I wanted to say was, man, I truly believe that this whole situation, while it's great for Arkansas, and if it does eventually come to, you know, fruition and Cal becomes the next head coach in Arkansas, that's great, right? They're going to pay him a bunch of money. They're going to bring in a legendary coach. 100%. He's going to recruit. Like, that's great for them. But I 100%. Truly think this is a bigger move and a more of a win for Kentucky, because now they don't have to fire him. They don't have to pay that $30 million something buyout. And
right.
They can use all that money and go find the next John Calipari or the next big-time coach. They can go a little younger. They can find somebody who is fired up and fits their mold like Cal did when they brought him in. And so is this more of an excited nervous for you or just flat-out nervous to make sure they pick the right guy?
No, I guess I should have worded that nervous. I think it is more of an excited nervous. And, you know, it is the right move, I think, for, you know, they don't have to pay him. And I guess the excited nervous for me is, you know, with Auburn and especially these other programs, I think these coaches are staying. They're building their own foundation. Mm-hmm. And I think Coach Pearl has invested so much. The fans love him. They love his energy. He's done so much for Auburn. And I think, as you said just a minute ago, I think it is going to be a go for a younger hire, whether that be Billy Donovan, whether it be, you know, Scott Drew. You know, it's just really hard to tell. But, you know, like I just said, if, you know, like Nate Oates and these other coaches, they're staying put. Dan Hurley, they're staying put. They're building their own brand now because the game has changed. And a lot of these players don't care about the tradition anymore. You know, they want to get paid. So my excited nervous comes from, I guess it's more of the excitement from just where we are as a program with Auburn and Coach Pearl. And I think he's just very happy here at Auburn. And, you know, it's kind of that's exciting for me because really is, it's been fun to watch. And it's going to be interesting to see how this transpires here.
Yeah.
In Kentucky, because it has been chaos, man, for the last since Sunday night, and like I'm just like reading Twitter, and I cannot go to sleep. I just could not do it, man.
Because there's so much, man. Up.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I even had a few friends blowing me up Monday morning, like we're coming for Pearl. Like,
oh my really, gosh!
Already, man.
So, wow, that's crazy.
Hey, sorry, it's been a while since I called in, but I'll be calling in again soon, and. Hey, I appreciate you guys being on the radio, and I love listening to y'all from here. So,
well, I appreciate that, man. Great to hear from you, man. Take it easy, all right? We appreciate you calling in. That is Kyle from Kentucky, man, and no apologies needed. Life is busy for everybody right now, so I appreciate you calling in. It is great to hear from you. And look, I guarantee it's been hectic up in that bluegrass state. I mean, this is such a crucial time for that state. When you have John Calipari out at Kentucky, you also have Louisville, who is continuously being a dumpster fire. I don't want to say it's the lowest that Kentucky as a state has been in a while, because Kentucky, the University of Kentucky, has a real prime opportunity to find their next big coach and become great. But I think maybe that's where a lot of Kentucky fans are starting to get a little worried is, okay, who do we go after? And Kentucky's been good for a long time. I know they haven't won a national title in 12 years, which, I mean, it's crazy that you have to say it that way. They've won a national title in the last 12 years. But for them, that's not good enough. And Kyle's right. He sees it every day. They were ready for him to go. They were ready for John Calipari to leave. This year was kind of that final straw. And as John Calipari worded it today, he said it's time for the fans to hear and see somebody else, and it's time for us to walk away from the program. So I think that's what he's doing. And we'll see what Kentucky decides to do. Got more phone calls. We're going to get to you, plus so much of Auburn to talk about when we come back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We are halfway through hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I'm Jacob Goetz with you on ESPN 106.7. We got more phone calls, so many topics to get to. I know there's a lot that I haven't hit yet today, and I promise we're going to get through as much of it as we can. Want your input on it. We'll have Daryl Dapperich with us in hour number two. We'll hit some big topics with him as well. And you can always go back and listen to the podcast at ESPNAU.com. So if you can't catch it live, you can always go and listen later on. We got more phone calls. Let's get to them. 334-321-1390. We'll begin with John in Auburn. You're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey Jacob, good to hear from you. Good show so far today.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, I was going to say there was something really interesting in the California. There's something really interesting in the California to Arkansas thing that, mm-hmm. that hasn't been discussed as much. And to me, that was the fact that Calipari, when he took the Arkansas job, like apparently got with the boosters from got with the Tyson Foods people in Arkansas. And really laid out an NIL initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, it made me think about Kalen DeBoer taking the Alabama job. And that's something, you know, DeBoer didn't have as much status. I know it's a different sport. He didn't have as much status. Does anybody know what the standing is to Yay Alabama or whatever the name of their NIL brand is? Because I remember it wasn't maybe as strong at the end of the Saban era. And it just got me to think that, you know, Maybe there are some holes in Tuscaloosa that you can see a more experienced coach in Calipari. I get it, a different sport, exploiting in a different way.
That's really intriguing, actually, John, to bring that up because, you know, somebody like John Calipari who has coached before the NIL era, watched it develop, and has now been in it for a couple of years. You know, he understands what it takes, and he had that at Kentucky, and if he were to take that another job before it became Arkansas, like, his mindset had to be, okay, no matter where I go, at my age and my skill set, I have to have what I need to succeed right now. I don't have another 10 to 15 years to build a program, right? And not that he built Kentucky, but you see what I'm saying here. He had to have what it takes to win. And so he was able to demand that from Arkansas, and they wanted to win bad enough to where, yeah, they pretty much gave it to him. Kalen DeBoer at Alabama is interesting because, look, Alabama has recruited itself for the last however many years because of the guy that was the head coach there. And NIL has not been great. It's gotten much better, and they've committed, and they're going to have a lot of money on NIL, especially for football, which is a lot more than basketball. Let me say that, too. So I think it's interesting on what Kalen DeBoer is, and I don't know this. I don't know what Kalen DeBoer, quote-unquote, demanded from them or wanted from them in terms of NIL. But, yeah, if they don't give it to him, he won't be there very long.
No, I absolutely agree with you. One quick football question.
Yeah.
The Auburn five-star recruit that we had in at quarterback, his name escapes me now. Is that looking like an Auburn A&M thing? Is this still looking like an A&M lean? What's the story there?
That's what I've heard. That's kind of what I was seeing over the weekend, and I think so. But as you know how it goes, these things flip and change. They can change within an hour, within a phone call. I mean, that's literally how quick this goes sometimes. But as far as I know, yeah, I think it's leaning A&M, but Auburn's still right there.
Awesome. And I just went blank, your baseball guy you had on last Thursday. Really great job he does with Braves today and everything else.
Yeah, Lindsey Crosby. Yeah, he'll not today, but we're hoping starting about next Tuesday to kind of have him in on a much more consistent basis talking Braves and Auburn baseball.
Awesome. One quick baseball point, just to throw at it before I leave. I heard a lot of rumblings now that they have pitch clock and all that, and that could be the reason that you have a lot more pitchers with elbow injuries earlier in the season.
Yeah,
a lot of guys shut down with Tommy John. So thanks for the show again, Jacob.
Yeah, appreciate the call, John. Great to hear from you, man. 334-321-1390. Yeah, I think that's a big part of it is these guys are having to work quicker on the elbow and on the arms than they've ever had to do, and it's an adjustment for them. It really is, and I think that they are having to put a lot more stress and strain on that elbow and on their arm, and it's just something they have to kind of adjust and get used to. And some guys can't handle it. And it's a lot on your arm. You're putting more stress, more innings, more pitches each and every time out. 334-321-1390. We'll get to the phone lines once again. Andy, appreciate you holding on, man. What's up?
Hey, Riddle. With the landscape changing, I'm wondering why Kentucky or more teams don't, but Kentucky has the funds since they're not, you know, putting it all into football. But why don't they just get a new up-and-comer? I mean, got a good name, nobody, but focus all that money on the players these days instead of putting it on the coach, maybe as a new tactic. I don't know. Because, you know, any talk about Pearl, I saw something on Facebook where he was in a Kentucky uniform. But it looked good on him.
Well, I mean, it looked. I know what you're talking about because the Bruce Pearl in a Kentucky shirt or Kentucky polo or what or pullover or whatever. I mean, it looks weird. It looks just as weird as when ESPN put the graphic out on Sunday night about John Calipari wearing a red Arkansas pullover. I mean, neither one of them looked normal to me, Andy.
Right, I got you. But you know, just thinking worst case scenario, if he did go, that would completely destroy Auburn's basketball. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but we all know that it's going to happen to some college someday where that – it kind of happened with Deion Sanders, but it didn't hurt that JUCO too much. But where the coach gets up and leaves and takes the quarterback and, you know, that day is coming for someone. And it's going to really, really hurt when you lose. You know, it kind of happened to us inadvertently with Gus leaving and then players leaving. But I'm just wondering your thoughts are, who's it going to happen to first? What school where that – coach leaves, he's disgruntled and takes half the team with him. All right, hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, Andy. 334-321-1390. I'll say this. Basketball is a little bit different than it is with football because in football, if a coach leaves, yeah, if he starts taking, I mean, he's got to fill a massive roster when he gets there. And when he leaves and goes into another job, that's because that coach is no longer there, right? And when he takes that job, there's a handful of kids that are going to leave that program that he's going to that he has to replace on top of the usual rotation of players that you have to fill every year with guys graduating, transferring, whatever, whatever. So it's a little bit different in football because, yeah, let's say a coach leaves and he takes the quarterback and he takes the receiver and he starts taking offensive and defensive linemen, and he starts taking all these guys, and all of a sudden, there's 25 players that have left a program for football. That's a lot. In basketball, it's just, I don't know, it just seems different to me because if a coach leaves, yeah, one or two may follow, but one or two may just leave and go completely somewhere else, or they may go to the NBA, or they may just hang around. And while one or two guys leaving is more impactful, it's also easier to replace one or two guys versus replacing anywhere from 15 to 25 guys. So it's going to happen. Andy's absolutely right. It's going to happen. And if it does end up with Calipari going to Arkansas, will anybody go with him? I don't know. A couple of players have already entered the portal and are getting interest from other schools not named Arkansas because there's really nobody there to be talking to them. There's some coaches, but there's not a whole lot there right now. And so it could be Nate Oates. It could be Bruce Pearl. It could be Dan Hurley. I mean, it could be anybody. It could be any current coach that decides to leave their program and sure, take one or two guys with them. But I don't see it as big of a deal in basketball just because you can replace one or two guys. It's still hard, and losing that one or two guys is more impactful, but you can replace them a little bit easier. And look, you can tell. This whole thing right now around the possibility of Bruce Pearl not being Auburn's basketball coach anymore, this has got people worried and scared, and rightfully so. And I'm not saying that this is inevitable. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But it's not crazy. I'm not the first one to tell you that Bruce Pearl's name has been thrown around with the Kentucky job. That it's just, it's not the first time it's been said. And you heard Andy right there. He said if Bruce Pearl leaves, that's the end of Auburn basketball. That would crush it. I don't think it'd be the end of it, but it would definitely hurt. There's no doubt about it. And there's other basketball things going on right now, too. Aiden Holloway, he's in the transfer portal. He entered the portal today. And I know that this season was not good for him by any means. His best game of the year was the first game of the year against Baylor. And nothing else got better. But I would almost put my life savings on it that Aiden Holloway is going to transfer somewhere, and he's going to go to a big-time program. He's a good player, man. He's extremely talented. He's very raw, and he's got to get better and improve at a lot of aspects of his game. But I would be willing to almost bet my life savings that he's going to go somewhere to a big-time program with a really good coach, and he's going to light it up. He's going to be a good player. He's going to develop and get better. Is he going to be an NBA guy? Probably not. Could be. But as of right now, no. But if he develops the right way, he could get there. But I think he's got the potential to be a really good college point guard. He just never got better. He didn't pan out. He didn't get better. And look, I'll just be honest, that's concerning. That's concerning to me on the Auburn side of things. Does that not concern you at all? The fact that you just brought in one of the highest rated five stars in the country, the best shooter coming out of high school, and people are throwing around the word bust again. This isn't the first time. This is the third major recruit in the last couple of years that have come in with extremely high expectations, which I think that has a little bit to do with it. But they've come in and gotten nowhere close. You can't even have the conversation on if Aiden Holloway met expectations because he didn't even sniff those. And again, I think part of that is Auburn and Auburn fans getting excited, which happens, right? There's nothing wrong with getting excited about a player coming in, but man, people were ready for this guy to just light it up. Myself included, as I stick my hand up right now. Myself included. I expected him to become great. I didn't expect him to come in against Baylor and do what he did. Absolutely not. That would have been crazy. But I did want him to become a superstar. And I thought he could have been here. And that's not going to be the case anymore. He's in the transfer portal. And we'll see where he goes. I think he could go, I don't want to say anywhere, but there's a ton of places that would be interested in him because of what he has the potential to be. But he had a lot of pressure here and just never got there. And so you have to ask yourself the question, was this a Aiden Holloway problem? Was he just not built for it? Couldn't perform when the lights were on? I mean, I don't think that's the case. I think there was a huge jump for him, and I don't think he was quite ready for that jump, but he shouldn't do it all on his own. If this is the third bust, quote-unquote bust, that Auburn's had in recent years, is it a player problem? Is it a scouting problem? Is it a coaching problem? I'm not saying any of them. I'm just giving you the option to make your own decision here, because I think all can be true. I think you have to really look at that. If he didn't get better at all, and let me ask you this. Did Aiden Holloway, from game one all the way through the end of the season, when Auburn lost against Yale in the NCAA tournament, do you fully believe that Aiden Holloway got better? Did he improve from game one to the final game of the season this year? I'm asking an open question. Did Aiden Holloway get better this year? I don't think he did. I really don't. And I have not looked at the end-to-end stats, right, of what he did from the start to the finish. Statistically, maybe he got better, and maybe he didn't. I'm telling you, I don't know. But just visually, and you all know this, I'm a huge eye test guy, he did not get better this year. He was the same player when he walked on campus for day one to today where he entered the transfer portal. That's an issue for me. That's a big issue for me. And if you haven't figured it out, I'm not blaming Aiden Holloway. Because like I said, I think he's going to go and be a phenomenal player somewhere. And if he doesn't, if he does turn out to be what they call a bust, then sure, you can slack off a little bit on that. But this staff and this head coach of Bruce Pearl, you've got to find a way to make these guys better. Because the expectations were there. You recruited him for a reason. Because he fit Bruce Pearl's system. But it just didn't work. And now here you are again. You've lost three guards in the transfer portal. With KD Johnson, Trey Donaldson, and now Aiden Holloway. And you've got to go find people to replace them. You've got a two-guard coming in, and Auburn's been active in the portal. But you got to go and fill those spots. And you lose a big one with Aiden Holloway today. We'll take our final break here in hour number one. Give me a call. Phone lines are still open. 334-321-1390. We'll wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here in hour number one. It's flown by, man. We've had a lot of fun so far. It feels great to be back in the studio with you here on ESPN 106.7. Reminder that Daryl Daprich will be joining us at 3:15. He'll join us for 30 minutes here on the show. Looking forward to that Double D Tuesdays. Have we claimed that yet? If not, we should. I know there's Double D Mondays over on News Talk WANI with Ben Taylor, but Daryl will be joining us coming up in hour number two. Other big news around Auburn today, and again, I told you, we're just making checks on the checklist here. How about the news and apparel today, huh? It's something that I know so many of you have been waiting for, and it's something that we have talked about for a long, long time, and it's going to be so much better in so many ways. It's going to be better, yes, for recruiting, for basketball in particular, when it comes to the gear that they wear, and yes, that matters. Don't be a hater. Yes, that matters. It matters in the shoes they wear. It matters in the shirts that they wear. It matters in the socks that they wear. Yes, those things matter to 18 and 19-year-olds. It also, I saw somebody say this today, and it's a really good point. Auburn's going to get to use different basketballs. They can use Nike basketballs now. How about that, right? That's an option if they want to. They're also going to use it for football. I mean, all of athletics are now going to be, in July of 2025, Nike branded. Auburn is no longer going to be with Under Armour. They'll finish out this year. It will take over in July of 2025. A long, long, long relationship with Under Armour will come to an end. And there were all sorts of negotiations in check here, in action, I should say. Nike was a part of it. Jordan was a part of it. Adidas was a part of it. And ultimately, Auburn made their announcement today that they will be pairing with Nike starting in July of 2025. It's also going to be great for folks like you and me that like to go out and wear Auburn shirts, Auburn apparel, Auburn polos. Look, I've got some really great Under Armour stuff. Sometimes they were good and sometimes they weren't. And if you've bought any Auburn polo in your life, you probably understand what I'm talking about here, right? It's just going to be better all around. And Auburn is going to benefit from this. I'm just telling you. There's a reason they are leaving Under Armour after this long when the contract is done, and there's a reason they're not going back to it. They heard people like you. They listened to the fans, to the players, to the coaches. They listened to what people wanted, and Auburn's going and doing it. And I think that you should give all, not I guess not all, but 90% of the credit to the athletic director of Auburn University, John Cohen. I mean, he has come in, and he's done some incredible things here in a very short amount of time. John Cohen has made some really big decisions, and I think has done an incredible job. And I know that we get on this show sometimes and we talk about the demand to win and for Auburn to want to be great. And I still think that's a thing. And I still think that that could even be greater. But it's moves like this that to the average fan is not going to mean a whole lot. But to those of you that pay a lot of money to rep Auburn and support Auburn, for those that come and want to be an athlete here, from football to tennis to lacrosse on the club, I mean anything, These are the decisions that are massive and could literally change the direction of your entire athletic department. And those are the hard ones to make. And John Cohen did it, man. And Auburn will be a Nike school starting in 2025. It's going to look a little weird. And I think some big names came into play to make this happen. But hey, it is what it is. Auburn will be wearing the Nike check. Just do it in 2025. So much more to talk about on that. And so many other things as we get into hour number two. It's coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of hour number one, it was busy, man, and we hit all sorts of topics. Had a ton of calls in that first hour as well. You can go and listen to the podcast wherever you get your podcast, or you can go to our station website. That's the easiest place to get it. And just go to ESPNAU.com. Talked about the John Calipari news from over the weekend since I was not here yesterday and had not really given my thoughts on that. There's still more to say, right, on John Calipari going to Arkansas, I guess, right? Being out of Kentucky anyway, he posted a video about it on his social media earlier this afternoon. So he is officially out of Kentucky and more than likely going to be in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Also, what the possibility of who's the next head coach going to be in Lexington? Could it be a familiar name here from the Plains? Yeah, that's got people fired up today, and understandably so. So we talked about that. Also, had some Aiden Holloway conversation since the five-star point guard, the freshman, is now in the transfer portal and will most likely not return to Auburn. So had all of that in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can go and find the podcast. Here coming up in hour number two, we'll have a shorter segment here to start hour number two because, as most of you know, Darryl Dabridge will be joining us coming up at 3:15, and man, we've got so many things to talk about with him. We'll get a quick update from A-Day since he was there, boots on the ground. I was not. I did get to see a lot of it, but we'll get an update from him on that. Lots of basketball, lots of baseball, probably talk about maybe a Final Four national championship, and also the Masters, man. I don't think 30 minutes is going to be enough with Double D, but we'll do our best when he joins us at 3:15. So until then, you got about 10 minutes or so. Come on in and join me. Be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. That's the number to put you through to me here on this April 9th show of On the Line. And look, I know we were talking a lot about Aiden Holloway and Bruce Pearl and Auburn and everything. Talked about the Nike stuff as well. Forgot about that. We talked about Nike being the new brand of Auburn starting in July of 2025. So if you've got thoughts on that, let me know. But I think we need to talk about the fact that college basketball is over. It's over. The season's done. I know. It's depressing. A national champion has been crowned. And to not a whole lot of people's surprise, it's UConn and Dan Hurley. They went back-to-back, something that just doesn't happen a whole lot in college basketball in the men's side. It's hard to do, man. The NCAA tournament is one of the hardest postseasons in all of sports because of how it's formatted and how it's set up. You've heard me talk about this numerous times and how I don't believe it's the proper way to crown a national champion on most years, most occasions. But the exceptions to that are the UConns of the world, where they just come in and wreck everybody. And it doesn't really matter, because it doesn't matter who steps in front of them. They're just going to blast them anyway. And that's exactly what UConn did this year. They showed a graphic on the game last night, and I don't remember the... I want to say it was 140, but I can't remember if that's the exact number. Their point differential throughout the NCAA tournament was the highest in the history of the tournament. Intern Allen saying 131. It was somewhere around there. 130, 140, somewhere in there. We may be able to get a confirmation on that. But they had the highest point differential ever in the history of the NCAA tournament. Across their six games, they won by more points than anybody's ever done. And so many people didn't think it could happen because of all of the people they lost off that team last year. And going into the tournament, it felt like that UConn team from a year ago was so dominant, and so many people picked them, and yeah, they got on a run and went on a roll, and they were the best team in college basketball. It wasn't even close. This year's team was really good, and they were still the number one overall seed, but they also, it is 140. Aha, I knew it. Stats got on that. I love when I'm confirmed right. So 140 was the point differential for that UConn team in the tournament. That's just insane. But coming into this year, while they were the number one overall seed, they still had some competition. And there were a lot of people that picked other teams to win. Houston and Purdue and Alabama and Baylor and Kansas. I mean, so many other teams that had a chance to win. Tennessee, like lots of other teams were picked to win the national championship. But as the tournament began to go on, it was apparent that UConn was the best team in the country, and it wasn't even close. And I saw the threads and the message board posts and all that about Auburn fans that really got themselves fired up about, well, if UConn had to play Auburn, it would have been a different story. No, that's false. That's wrong. UConn may have had a tougher game against Auburn in the Sweet 16. Auburn may have given them a good game. But given how Auburn played in their first game, A, they lost, so they didn't even deserve to get to the Sweet 16 or have a shot at that UConn team. But at that point, I promise, Auburn wanted nothing of what UConn was giving up in this tournament. The things that UConn was doing to people were kind of borderline unspeakable, because that UConn team was incredibly good. Look at what they did in the Final Four. They played a very, very talented Alabama team, which I know there's a lot of you that were upset that they lost. I know you were hurt Saturday that Alabama went down in the Final Four, just like Auburn did. But Alabama gave UConn a run for their money for a little bit, for most of the game. And then UConn did what UConn does, and they pulled away, and they asserted their dominance and showed that they were the better team. That's exactly what they did last night in the national championship game. UConn and Purdue went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth the entire first half. And then UConn pulled away just a hair and got up by 6. And the spread was 6.5. And I know I didn't have a chance to talk about it on the show yesterday since I wasn't here, but I loved UConn 6.5. Easy to say now that they won by 15, but I promise, I think UConn was just the better team. And that's really what the second half showed. That second 20 minutes was just dominance from UConn. They did exactly what they've done all season long. They play high-pressure defense. They turn you over. They run some of the most efficient offense I have ever seen in the history of the sport. And they just wear you down. They frustrate you. They make you defend for 20-plus seconds. And then they make an extra pass you didn't think they could make, and they knock it down. Or they make a cut you didn't think they could make, and they lay it in. That's what that team does. That's what Dan Hurley has done with that UConn team, with that UConn program. And Purdue, as good as they were, and as good as Zach Edey is, whether you think he's good or not for being 8'11", he is a monster. And he was really good. And guess what? Zach Edey did Zach Edey things. He had an incredible stat line last night. But Purdue finally got exposed for what they were. They're a one-man band. They had one dude that was really tall and really good, but they had no guard play. No guard play. And it's a miracle they got as far as they did. But they made it to the national championship game, and UConn exposed them. And the Huskies are now back-to-back national champions. And Dan Hurley has said he's not going anywhere. His name's been thrown around for the Kentucky job, and he's not going anywhere. And that's what Nate Oates said, too. Nate Oates released a statement last night after Alabama lost in the Final Four the day before and said, what'd he say? I'm committed to Alabama. Here's the quote. He says, pulling it up, he says, Bama Nation, I am fully committed to this team and to this university. This is Nate Oates about him being the head coach at Alabama. Says, we have already accomplished some great things here, and there is nothing I want more than for the University of Alabama to win its first national championship in men's basketball. You can believe that if you want to, or you don't have to believe it. It's funny because I don't quite know what I think. What I do know is I can't count on my two hands and two feet on how many times I've seen a head coach release that exact statement in the past and then dip out for a better job, for more money, for a bigger job, right? There's so many different names and times in the history of college athletics and even professional athletics that exact statement, maybe worded just a hair differently, has been released and been said, and then a few days, few weeks later, they're gone for another job. So on that front, maybe you're committed until somebody pays you more money and gives you a little bit more access, like at Kentucky. But part of me really does think that Nate Oates wants to stay at Alabama. And you have to start asking yourself the question, why would he leave? Take all the other jobs out of it. Take Kentucky out of it for a second here. Take any other big-time job. I don't care where it is, who it is, or what it is. Look at, in a vacuum, Nate Oates at Alabama. Why would he leave? He just took him to a Final Four. He's got the fan base more bought in than they've ever been on the basketball side. He's getting great players, and he's making the best out of it. Now, is his NIL what he wants it to be? I'm sure he wants more. He just signed a big extension, so he's making good money. Are the facilities what they need to be? No, and I think we could all agree to that. I think Alabama people would tell you that. Good friend Doug Amos in Montgomery, he'll tell you that. But even without that, they just went to their first Final Four. And he built that. Nate Oates has got Alabama basketball as high as it's ever been. He seems like the guy that would want to hang around now and truly finish the job. But we all know this, and you especially know this if you listen to my show, money talks. Money will make people do a lot of crazy things. And that would include leaving a big-time job for another big-time job. So maybe that's where that's going as well. But it is crazy that the season's over, right? Basketball season, college basketball in the books. NCAA tournament was great. Women's tournament was great. Caitlin Clark played her final game of college ball. The legend, who did not win the national championship, South Carolina did. So I'm at the SEC on top once again. Dawn Staley, excellent coach. Excellent. I saw somebody on I believe it was Sunday night when the news started coming out about Calipari. They said Kentucky should hire Dawn Staley. I think it's kind of crazy, but hey, maybe they could. I don't know. But basketball season's now done. You've still got the NBA. I'll still cheer on my Celtics, but college basketball now is done. And you've got a little bit of a dead period here that'll open. It'll end on Thursday, I think. And then it's a free-for-all once again with portal, recruiting, everything. So that's exciting, too. We got to get to a break. We got to get Double D, Daryl Dapperich in here. When we come back, we'll talk all things Auburn, football, basketball, baseball, maybe even some Masters as well. That's all coming up with Daryl Dapperich when we come back on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Welcome back into the studio here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. And, man, I'm excited to talk to this guy. Once again, he's with us every single Tuesday. You can catch him on Locked on Auburn a couple days a week. You can catch him on Monday mornings with Ben Taylor on News Talk WANI. He's a wonderful guest for sports there. It's a good friend of mine, Double D, Daryl Dappert's joining us on the phone lines. Daryl, it's great to hear from you once again. I hope you had a wonderful weekend.
Man, I did. It's a lot going on. Holy crap. Just the world of sports and, you know, at Auburn University. And, of course, just do it, baby. The apparel deal announced today that we kind of all suspected was coming for a while kind of kicked off the day good today.
Yeah, well, it's you talk about the topics, man. I mean, there's just it's double-digit topics is what I had on my show rundown today, and 2 hours just isn't enough. And unfortunately, I don't think 30 minutes is going to be enough for you and I, so we're going to see what we can knock out in that time. And you mentioned it right there. Just do it, Daryl. Tell us about what you think about Auburn becoming a Nike school starting in July of 2025.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that I feel like are kind of downplaying this and acting like there's an overreaction. And I'll tell you why I don't think that's the case. First of all, to kind of just recap or to kind of just have a little retrospective, you know, when Auburn signed with Under Armour in 2005, it was considered a big deal. I mean, Auburn was coming from Russell Athletic. Under Armour was a national brand that was on the rise. A lot of people were – it was the cool thing to get Under Armour shirts and Under Armour apparel and the dry fit stuff. And you remember Auburn did the big click clack campaign and protect this house. And so it served for what Auburn needed at the time. And I think what happened was there started to become this trajectory of cultural shifting where Nike went back to what it was in the 80s and the 90s with the Air Jordan campaign and the Bow Nose campaign. And Nike became it. It became the cool cultural thing to have. You know, image matters, branding matters, and kids wanted, you know, swag is important. And Nike, you know, I heard somebody say on social media, you don't walk into a Foot Locker and ask them where the Under Armour row is. It just doesn't happen. I mean, it's Nike and it's Jordan and it's not just shoes. That's what fuels all of it. That's the precursor that starts all of it, but it's apparel, it's brand, it's the swoosh that is known just universally. So I think, you know, from an image standpoint, it's great to have a partnership with Nike for Auburn's image. But from a standpoint of appealing to young adults, that's who you're recruiting. That's your recruiting base. So it's going to affect and it's going to impact positively recruiting. And then you talk about just overall quality of gear and uniforms. And, you know, Nike has got a better reputation for athletic uniforms and shoes and cleats than Under Armour does right now for quality. I know somebody very well that's in the apparel business that sells to teams. He's in the team business. And he showed me a couple weeks ago the catalog that coaches that are affiliated with Nike schools and their coaches, what they get to choose from in the way of sideline gear. Then he showed me the Under Armour comparison catalog. And it's like 3-1, Jacob.
Wow.
So you talk about coaches outfitting what they – and then the final piece of the puzzle is just us as fans. Gear that you can wear to the stadium and to the arena. And there's a better selection. I'm not going to downplay and I'm not going to criticize Under Armour for quality. I'm just saying selection, what's out there to buy from a Nike standpoint is a lot greater than Under Armour, just like it is for the coach's sideline collection. So I think all those things add up to it making a difference. People cannot downplay this. It is going to help Auburn University from an image, recruiting, fan engagement, and just overall quality of what you're going to have from a uniform and equipment standpoint on the field.
Well, there's no denying that there were, I mean, all the biggest sporting apparel brands were in on this and trying to be a part of it. And Auburn was interested in them as well, right? Adidas and Jordan and of course, Nike that Auburn ended up going with. And they made the announcement earlier today. And Daryl, the credit that I've given is sort of what you were talking about. And all of those different parties that are going to benefit from this and really enjoy what I think most people are going to see as an upgrade from Under Armour to Nike. I gave a lot of credit to the athletic director, John Coeing, for listening to people, listening to the fans and the student athletes that are here and the coaches that were obviously making it known that a change wanted to be made, and credit to John Coeing and Auburn for going out and making that change.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And you know, this is a school, this is a guy, John Coeing, who likes Adidas. He had been affiliated with Adidas at Mississippi State. He was the baseball coach there. He was comfortable with Adidas. But, you know, at the end of the day, and I want to make sure people understand the totality of the Nike argument. So, you know that Jordan is an offshoot or a subsidiary of Nike.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, anybody that knows the movie, you know, Air and all that kind of stuff. So, look, there is not, it's not 100% out of the realm or out of the question that Auburn could be outfitted completely in Nike gear from pants to football jerseys to cleats and then have their basketball jerseys be Nike. But if they want to wear Jordans on the basketball court, as far as their shoes, I don't think contractually there's a problem because Jordan is a subsidiary of Nike. Now, they're their own brand when it comes to uniforms and that kind of thing. And Jordan is very, Michael Jordan is very, very possessive about his brand and it being just about Michael Jordan. So what I have heard, obviously, Tim Cook, very, very, very involved in these negotiations
mm-hmm.
at the table with Phil Knight and some of the Auburn trust because, you know, Tim Cook with Apple, he had some pull. He was very crucial as well. That's why that John Coeing tweet that dropped today that was phenomenal, where he gets a text from Charles Barkley, Bo Jackson, and Tim Cook is relevant because all three of them were instrumental in getting this done. Besides John Coeing. So that's important to know as well. Look, the campaign that whenever it gets rolled out and whenever it officially becomes an advertising campaign should be phenomenal. It should be goosebump stuff with Barkley and bringing back maybe the bow nose. I've heard rumblings of that. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do with this now. Imagine that on the Jumbotron when you're coming out of the stadium in Jordan-Hare. You know, in 2000, I guess it would have to be 2025, the fall of 25 is
mm-hmm.
when the spring of 25 is when when the last spring sport finishes in 2025, which will be softball or baseball, then you can start wearing Nike. So obviously the football team in 2025 would be the first. Imagine running out of the tunnel to something like that. The opportunities and the exposure on a national level are limitless because Barkley and Bo are very, very visible athletes. And if you wear Jordans from a basketball standpoint, which, again, I don't think is completely out of the question, it's going to be incredible. But there's a lot of people that made this happen, and you're right. John Coeing, listen, he got it done, and he had help from some big-time players in this whole thing.
Well, as an athletic department and a university, I mean, when you have those big-time names that are representatives of your school, I mean, isn't it smart to call them and say, hey, you want to help us out with this and see what we can do and what we can make possible? And, yeah, I think all those guys that you named were a big part of this. And, yeah, now Auburn is going to be a Nike school. Why not use those guys to your advantage?
I envision, and I'm not an advertising executive, but could you imagine a Bo Nose campaign where he's talking about Bo Nose Heismans, Bo Nose championships, Bo Nose Final Fours? You know, and all this kind of stuff, and it's just Bono. And while that's going on, there's footage and highlights of, you know, Pat Sullivan and Cam Newton and national championships, and you know, and the Final Four team, and there's Bono's Omaha and having Frank Thomas. I mean, Frank Thomas was a Reebok athlete. I hope he puts that aside because those are the big three,
right?
And and at the end, if you have all them together, you know, in the campaign, you know, promoting this school with a Just Do It War Eagle or something. I mean, it would be incredible. There is so much that you could do you've got to incorporate. That is what makes Auburn so special is its tradition. And you have to tap into that when you're rolling out Nike, because other than Jordan, no athlete in the history of marketing or advertising had more of an impact than Bo Jackson, and he went to your school. And then remember Charles Barkley with the I'm not a role model thing. If anybody has ever seen the Air movie that came out where they talked about how Michael Jordan was one of the first athletes that Nike signed.
Phenomenal movie.
Now, do you remember, Jacob, who the other athlete in that class was that they signed? One of the first people Nike signed besides Jordan to a shoe contract? Charles Barkley. They came out at the same time.
Boom.
And Charles Barkley was one of the first to sign with Nike, and then Jordan followed suit. Because at that point, Adidas was the shoe, and Converse.
Yeah, Converse, yeah.
I wore Converse and rolled my ankle more than they were terrible. They looked good. Bird Magic and Dr. J wore them, but they were horrible. I mean, they hurt. They were stiff, you know. And then this new Jordan shoe comes out in white, red, and black in 1984, and I'm like, this is incredible. So it really took off from there because Barkley wore it and then some other athletes. But Barkley had just as much of the exposure to a big-time basketball player in the NBA wearing Nike right after Jordan. Those were the two.
Yep.
So it makes perfect sense. Bo was the most visible athlete from a campaign. Barkley, I can't wait. I cannot wait till they finally, I mean, till they absolutely take total advantage of this. But I know it's just apparel. And I know it's just shoes, but I would caution anybody from downplaying it and underappreciating the impact this is going to make, because I think it's going to have a ripple effect.
I'll say this to folks. If you want a really good read about Nike and kind of how the company came about, go read the book Shoe Dog by Phil Knight. It is phenomenal. It is really, really good. From start to finish, talking about how Nike became a thing, all the hardships they went through, I recommend that you can buy it pretty much anywhere. So, Daryl Dappert's joining us on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We'll talk some basketball news when we come back and maybe some A-Day updates. Daryl, you were on the grounds. We'll talk about all of that when we come back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goetz with you on the Auburn Opelika sports leader, and we are joined by Daryl Dappert continuing on here on the phone lines. Daryl, great to have you on. I know we had our first segment, got our second segment coming up. Tell everybody where you are on all the days, man. I can't keep up with it anymore.
Monday morning, 7:10, with our good friend Ben Taylor, WANI. Obviously with you, 3:15, on the line. Tuesday afternoons with Zach Blackerby, Locked on Auburn, Wednesdays and Fridays. And then I'll be doing a few, follow my written work on Auburn Daily as well.
Uh-oh.
Doing some recaps and some stuff. Yeah, I'm working on a basketball article that's kind of like a recap of the season, and then I'll look forward and some projections of positions, departures, arrivals, comings, goings. But it's such a fluid situation that I'm going to wait a week or so just to kind of see what all happens in this portal. We'll talk about some portal targets that Auburn will have and some needs to fill and that kind of thing.
Awesome. Well, hey, speaking of that, we've got more basketball things to talk about, but I want to get the football stuff as well. You were at A-Day on Saturday. The weather was much nicer this year than it was a year ago. And look, the folks that listen to my show that know A-Day is what it is, right? I'm not going to over talk about it and over exaggerate and over react to things that happen in the spring game. But if there are anything, or if there is anything to take away from it, Daryl, what did you see and what did you want to kind of highlight?
Well, there were some question marks going in that I wanted to see. I wanted to see the passing game get sharper and see if it, obviously last year you couldn't because of the weather, but I really wanted to see if there was better route running, better separation, if there was just crisper passing and that kind of thing. And you know, with the new receivers, especially with Cam Coleman, I was very curious. So I will say this, that he's as advertised, Cam Coleman. He is a difference maker. He is the real deal. He is somebody that you look at and can't keep your eyes off on the field. I think the passing game really looked better between the 20s. There were some down the field throws. There were some throws in windows. There were some chunk plays. But Auburn struggled when they got in the red zone, and that was a direct result of not being able to run the football, which really surprised me. That's a concern. I guess it'll go away because I'm really confident in that running back room, and I really like that offensive line. But, you know, you can't kick 7 field goals. I mean, they're great for Towns Magoo, and he looked great, but one touchdown's not going to get it done. Now, on the flip side of that, Auburn's defense is pretty good. I mean, they're smothering. I can tell the difference with Durkin and Charles Kelly, the impact they both have. Auburn secondary covered really, really well. Did a great job of tracking the ball in the air, played the ball, knocked the man. The linebackers really covered well side to side, got closed quickly. And I was concerned about the defensive line, and they played good. They got in the backfield some. They had some push. So I think the defense is going to be solid. I think the passing game will continue to mature and improve, especially getting a couple more receivers on campus. And I think Auburn will go after a couple in the portal that can come right in and make an impact. I was very impressed with Robert Lewis. I mean, he's going to be a difference maker, the transfer from Georgia State. But the concern is you got to score in the red zone. And I was a little bit concerned with the running game. Did not see the explosive plays from a running back standpoint. Other than that, it is what it is. Like you said, A-Day, you're just going to kind of hope no one gets hurt and evaluate who's going to jump in the portal and what needs you might need to go out and get in the portal.
Yeah, and that's really where the focus has got to turn to, right, is who's going to leave, right? Some of those conversations that'll be had is, okay, after the spring, it may be in your best interest to find somewhere else and all of that, right? Those are going to be happening. And then Auburn has to, as you said, they got to address some needs. They got to go figure out, okay, we need this many of this position and this many of this position and one of this guy. Like, we need those things. And so is there one over the other or one over the others that Auburn just absolutely has to go get, and anybody by name in particular right now, Darrell, that you think could be a possibility?
Well, you know, a guy just jumped into the portal named Bear Alexander from USC about 2 years ago, 2 hours ago, and I know Auburn and a lot of other schools be salivating to get him. I think Auburn needs to get a couple of defensive tackles. Their backups are very young, although they played really well. Hugh Freeze mentioned the freshman by name, but I still think you've got to have a couple other defensive tackles and one or two more bucks, the edge rusher. So if I had to guess, I think Auburn goes into the portal on the defensive side of the ball and maybe gets 3 or 4 bodies along the defensive front and the edge. I do believe Auburn will get a receiver or two, because I think some guys will jump in the portal that are receivers, that are, I think, veteran guys that are getting, that aren't in the two deep, that are getting beat out and getting less playing time than freshmen and transfers. So if you think of guys like that, maybe 2 or 3 receivers will jump in the portal. Auburn will go get, a couple guys, I think, from a wide receiver room. It's hard to see, you know, targets, because people are just now starting to really get into the portal from after spring football. And,
right.
And after that kind of thing. Now, I will say this. If Holden Gerner leaves, and, there's always been that speculation that he's the odd man out, I'm not saying he will. But I think Auburn, from a quarterback room, from a depth standpoint, will probably need to go get another quarterback. You don't want to go into the season with just 3 scholarship quarterbacks. Would this be a guy that could come in and push Thorne to start? Doubt it. I think that ship has sailed, unless somebody that – remember, Grayson McCall last year was almost coming out in the spring, and if that would have happened, he would have been an Auburn Tiger, for if not for the whole degree thing and the major. I don't know. I think you'll see the over-under as far as players leaving being around 8 guys portaling, and I think Auburn will go after maybe 6 to fill some of those spots, I think. From a roster management standpoint, I think that's what you'll end up seeing. But receiver and defensive line right now seem to be the biggest areas of need.
Well, speaking of the transfer portal, not on the football side, but on the basketball side, where Auburn has already seen 2 guards in Trey Donaldson and KD Johnson enter the portal, as I kind of slipped up and said it right there, Aiden Holloway entered the transfer portal today. So 3 guards have now entered the portal for Bruce Pearl and the Tigers. What do you think that means, Darrell? What's happening now in terms of what you think Auburn and Bruce Pearl are going to do in the transfer portal to try to bring in some new guards?
Well, you're going to have to get a point guard that can come in and play right away. And the 2 The two usual suspects are J.P. Pegues. He's a guard from Furman. He's a point guard from Furman. Very, very coveted. Just visited Florida. A couple schools want him. About 18 points a game. Really, really good shooter. And then there's a kid named Miles Rice from Washington State who was Pac-12 Freshman of the Year. Averages about 15 or 16 a game. More of a slasher. Gets to the rim. Not a pure shooter. I think Auburn would be thrilled to take either one. I don't think they're going to get both, obviously, because they want playing time and NIL and all that. I think Auburn will get one of those guys, and I think it'll just be whatever one Bruce Pearl feels like is a better fit. And then from a standpoint of a backup, you're going to have to get two. So, you know, I think Auburn's going to probably go the route like they did with Chad Baker Mazzara to get the three position filled last year, which was such a glaring hole. And maybe go the JUCO route. Maybe get a guy that can come in, play 15 minutes a game, be excited about playing at the highest level of collegiate basketball, back up Rice or Pegues, and kind of learn the craft a little bit. A guy that can help, that can come in and give you minutes. Maybe a guy that's a really fast, maybe a lockdown. There's some JUCO kids out there that Auburn, I think, would look at to be the backup. I don't think you're going to get two Division I transfers at the point guard position. I just don't think that happens. And then the rest is just the waiting game on Broom and Cardwell. I mean, if Broom comes back, you know, what does that mean for Cardwell? If Broom comes back, does he slide to the four and play the power forward position, which there's rumblings about that because that's probably where he's more coveted or appealing from an NBA standpoint than Cardwell could play the five. If neither one of them come back, you better go out and get a four out of five in the portal. If one comes back, you get a hybrid maybe. So there's so many different. And then the kid Coles from TCU, Auburn's looking at too. He's a hybrid 3-4 because you lost Jalen Williams. You got Chaney Johnson coming back. The three position, you're good with Chad Baker Mazzara, Chris Moore, and Ja'Kai Howard, who is the phenomenal freshman that's going to come in and that can dunk like crazy. And then the two guard position, Jacob, with Denver Jones and Tahad Pettiford, who's the McDonald's All-American. He plays off ball, plays the two. They're pretty solid there. So point guard and then maybe a hybrid 3-4 if everybody comes back, two point guards. And then, but if Broom or Cardwell leaves, you're looking at probably going to the portal for four bodies.
Gosh, yeah. I mean, that's the tough part about it is you're kind of in a waiting game. You're just trying to figure out, okay, who's really going to be here? Who's dipping out? Who's leaving for the portal or the NBA or just calling it a career, right? There's just so many different aspects that you're trying to figure out. On top of, Daryl, on top of all the rumor mill about, well, is Bruce Pearl even going to be the head coach at Auburn next year, which is a crazy thing to think about, but it's something that's been circling around the interweb for the last couple of days with John Calipari leaving Kentucky, supposedly leaving to go to Arkansas, and yeah, Bruce Pearl's name has been floating around the Kentucky job.
Yeah, it has. I think that, you know, there's some other names that are in front of Pearl's.
I agree with that.
Probably got turned down with Dan Hurley last night, but I think there's some other names that are, you know, it's one of those situations that I don't know how, if you're a coach that, you know, is very, very confident about your abilities and loves how you turn down a blue blood. I mean, I just don't. It's unfortunate that his name's got thrown out there. I don't think Bruce Pearl is going to be leaving for Kentucky, but I would not blame him if Kentucky came calling to at least consider, you know, because again, it's a blue blood job. I think more along the lines of a Scott Drew or Billy Donovan's name's been mentioned. I'm shocked. And look, Nate Oates came out and made that statement yesterday evening. I don't even know if Kentucky had even contacted him. So for him to say that looks a little disingenuous when they may not have even offered him the job, or he may not have been a candidate. That may change in the next 24 hours now that it's officially open. So I don't know. This whole thing's been very, very strange. It's been very drawn out. It's been very unlikely how this whole thing's happened. But, I wouldn't blame him for listening, but I think Bruce Pearl is really happy here, and I think he knows he has what he needs to win. And I tell you, it's the only job besides a North Carolina or a Kansas that if you're a coach, you would even consider.
I mean, it's one of the biggest jobs in the country. It is one of the true blue bloods in college basketball, and the job is wide open, and it hasn't been that way in 15 years. We're talking with Daryl Dapperich here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He's with us every single Tuesday from 3:15 to 3:45. Ish. We normally run over a couple of minutes. And Daryl, I failed to wish you a happy Masters week, my friend.
Yeah, this was, I'm kind of depressed because I think today from a, well, it was actually Masters Wednesday. So it would be tomorrow when they have the par three tournament is when I was able to go last year for my first time ever. And it was incredible. I mean, I got, you know, I got on ground on the grounds at 6 a.m. and we stayed till 5 p.m. until the par three was over. I've never been more physically tired in my life.
It's so exhausting. It's exhausting.
It's exhausting. I mean, first of all, the whole gift shop's exhausting because looks like Wall Street, you know, in the 80s with people just pressing up against you and you raise your hand, you want this, you want that. I mean, it is a zoo in there. And the line is like a Disney ride to even get into the gift shop. And then you hit the course and you start walking, and the topography of just the hills and the adulation and all that is just unbelievable. But it was a great time. I think the biggest thing and the greatest thing, the Masters moment where the hair stood up on my arms, is when you get to that tunnel or that bridge, when you're about to get into the entry on the grounds coming from the parking lot, there's a man there that kind of goes over all the course rules, and he kind of holds you up in groups and will let you know, hey, don't do this, don't do that, do this. You know, he kind of gives you just the lay of the land. And then when he's done, real dramatically, he just stops and he looks at your group and he says, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Masters. And you're like, this is incredible.
Yes.
I mean, you know, he just really makes it such a big deal. And then you walk right by him and enter the grounds. And so it's definitely special. Anybody that has the opportunity to go, if they do. And I'll tell you, I like the food. Food was good, and it was cheap, brother. That's the one thing they do, and they're right. They keep it very affordable for breakfast sandwiches and lunch and all that. You can go spend all day and spend $15 and eat every meal you need to eat. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, they released a stat today that if you bought one of everything on the Masters food menu, top to bottom, $66. Is the total
that's
for that.
Incredible. That's my ticket for Mexican food after church on Sunday for a family of two to three. It's amazing.
Doesn't take long.
It's a great experience. Great experience. I'll go back someday now that I know what to look for and what to do. It's pretty cool. It was pretty special.
Yeah, I was on the grounds yesterday, man. It was fantastic. And you're right. He stops everything and says, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Masters. And you go and you scan your ticket and you walk in, and it is just
it's magical.
Free-for-all.
I don't even know what that bridge is. Whatever that you know what I'm talking about, that
yep.
tunnel that
yeah.
they hold you up at?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Somebody said yesterday when we were walking through it was like they were herding us like cattle. And that's pretty much what it felt like, because they'll break it up. You know, they'll break it up in a couple hundred, and then they'll let them go and go in, and then they'll do it again over and over and over again.
I've never been more tired than getting in my car at 5 o'clock that Wednesday to head back to Montgomery, though. I mean, I've been to Disney and have walked, you know, 20,000 steps and have been at Disney for 13 hours with my kids. It was just the way that goes up and down and the slopes of that, I mean, when I checked my Apple Watch, it was unbelievable the workout that I got. So it's fun. I would recommend it to anybody.
It's absolutely worth it, man. It's one of the best weeks on the sports calendar. I know you'll be taking it all in when it gets started on Thursday all through the weekend. We'll have that to talk about next Tuesday with Daryl Dapperich. Double D with me every Tuesday. Plug it all one more time before we let you go.
Monday morning, 7:10, WANI, you at 3:15 on the line. Zach, Wednesdays and Fridays, where you get your podcast, Locked On Auburn.
That's right, man. Hey, we appreciate you and your time. Always a good time talking to you, man. Have a great week.
You too. Take care.
That's Daryl Dapperich joining us on the phone lines, as he always does on Tuesday afternoons. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line. On ESPN 106.7, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We'll wrap it all up in just a second. Let's get to the phone lines one more time. 334-321-1390. And it's Keith from Uncle Keith Red Sauce. What's up, man? How are you?
What's up, Jacob? How you doing today, buddy?
Doing good, man. Wrapping up what's been a fantastic show on this Tuesday afternoon.
Yes, sir. Enjoyed it. I heard you talking about going to the Masters, man. That's just one of those things. I've been twice, and I think I heard you say maybe you've been once or twice, and it's a trip of the life of a lifetime if you can get it done.
Yeah, I've been twice. I went in 2019 on a Monday practice round. That's the year that Tiger won it, and then which is how I always describe it. And then this past year, I was just there yesterday. So 2019 and 2024.
Awesome, man. And I also wanted to call in, and I don't know, I didn't get to hear the whole show today, but so I would assume that with you being gone to Augusta yesterday, you didn't do the show yesterday, or you weren't on the show yesterday.
That is correct, yep.
I just wanted to call and congratulate you, though, because I think this past weekend you had a high honor, and I know you probably wouldn't be telling everybody this, but I'm going to tell it, and I'm going to shout it out because I'm proud of you. Congratulations on the 2024, is it the Abby Award for the best sportscaster in radio in the state of Alabama, man. That's awesome, Jacob. I'm proud of you. You've worked hard. You're well-deserved, and I know this is just probably one of many awards that you're going to receive.
Well, man, I greatly appreciate that. The love and support has been phenomenal on that, and you're absolutely right. Yeah, this past Saturday was extremely honored to accept the Abby Award from the Alabama Broadcasters Association for sportscaster of the year in the state of Alabama. And man, it's just an honor to be the voice of Lee Scott, and I'm actually heading over there as soon as I'm done here to go call some Lee Scott baseball. So Keith, I really do appreciate your kind words, man.
Well, man, I won't hold you up. I know you got to get going, but I do want everybody to know that this is a prestigious award. I mean, you're talking about the likes of probably people like Eli Gold and Rod Bramlett and, you know, Andy Burcham have won this award, and
yep.
If I've got my facts right. So, Jacob, me and my family, brother, we're super proud of you. Keep working hard, man. Sky's the limit.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that, Keith. It's great to know you and your family, and the kind words mean so much more than you know, man. I really do appreciate that. That's it for the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We'll talk some more about that tomorrow. Would love to tell you more about it. And Uncle T-Bone will be back tomorrow. We'll be together again on a Wednesday edition of the show. More Auburn news, maybe more college basketball news. Who knows? Auburn baseball plays tonight. We'll talk about that as well. That'll be on the show tomorrow. Thank you all so much. It means more than you'll ever know. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.